Have you ever thought before about the connection between Time and Life? Not the magazines, Time and Life, or the relationship that they have, but the relationship between the two concepts of time and life. Somehow the two are inextricably tied together. You can't have one without the other. At least not in our experience, you can't. We even use them interchangeably at times. If we get very bad news from the doctor, we may ask him, "How much time do I have left?" And what we mean by that is, "How much life do I have left?" We use them interchangeably. If you lose one of them, you will lose the other as well. And that's not very good news for people who only have a limited amount of time on this earth. Earlier today, I had a large sermon planned. I don't want to scare you, because far be it from me to preach a large sermon, right? I had a big sermon planned earlier today, and I've been mulling it over in my head the last couple of days, and it was all there. It was all right up here, and all I had to do was just put it down on paper, and that wasn't going to be that difficult until I started doing it. And then the more I worked on it, the harder it became, and so sometime around 5 o'clock this afternoon, I scrapped the whole kit and caboodle and put this together. Somewhere along the way, this afternoon, as I was pulling my hair out in my office, I said to myself, "Time." As I was watching the clock fly, I said, "Time is the one thing I need and the one thing I don't have is more time." But as I was looking over this text again, it occurred to me that may be just the message that God wanted me to remember and wanted us to remember too. The message that God wants us to think about tonight: we don't have much time. I think we feel that way often about other things in life too, not only about writing sermons for midweek services. I could get this done or that done if I only had more time. I could be better at this or that, or spend more time with him or her if I only had more time, but I don't have more time. I feel that way all the time, that I don't have enough time for all the things that you want to do, for all the things that you feel like you need to do. I don't have enough time. The clock just goes faster and faster. And I may have mentioned this before. Great-grandma DeHaan was right. Every year you live goes faster than the one before it. Every year. It goes fast. And I think that truth, that we don't have much time, is one of the hardest ones that we have to come to grips with in life. When we get older, I've noticed, thought about, well, not that no one else has, but that getting older is really a process of losing a lot of stuff, you know? You lose people that you love. You lose health. You lose the ability to bend. You lose so many things. But you lose time. You lose time, and as it gets closer and closer to the end, whenever that happens to be, that's one of the things that I don't have much time. The time just keeps going and going and going, and nobody can stop it. We don't have enough time. We don't have enough time to say all the things we want to say, or to do all the things we want to do, or to make up for all the things that we've done wrong. Maybe you feel that way too. We don't have enough time. As I look at this passage, it becomes very clear that one of the ways that God is so much different from us is that he always has time. He always has enough time. He endures. Now, God is not technically in time for all the theologians among us. He is outside of time. He's not bound by time. But he still endures. And you could think of it technically as that he has succession, experiences succession, one thing after another, without change, without deterioration, which our experience of time is. So he endures. He experiences one thing after another in succession, and he just keeps on going. He just has more and more and more time. He has all the time you could ever want. This passage that we read here in John chapter 1 is timeless. In the beginning, and that phrase obviously recalls Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, back before there was anything, back before time, was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The Word, this Word, whom we know to be Jesus, of course, has always had time too. He's never been rushed. And you can see it in the work that he has accomplished. If you look at your world, Lene was mentioning, when we had prayer before the service tonight, mentioning the beautiful sunset, and I caught a glimpse of it through the window. And it was gorgeous. The world, to look at those pictures of the stars and the planets, and I looked at somebody's pictures recently from Glacier National Park and Yellowstone National Park, and to see the beauty and the glory of his work and his creation. You can see that he had plenty of time to do whatever he needed to do. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Jesus is timeless. He's never uptight about not having enough time. He has all the time anyone could ever want. And with his timelessness then, getting back to the relationship between time and life, with his abundance of time, he also has an abundance of life. Life that never ends, just like his time. As one who never has to worry about time, he never has to worry about not having enough time. He never has to worry about death, not in his glorified state. He lives forever. But secondly, he's also the source of all life. So not only does he enjoy unlimited life, but he is the one who provides and creates life. In the first few verses here, the first four verses of John chapter 1, there are two words that are used over and over again. The first word is the word to be. Like he was, and he was, and he was. He just was. And then the other word is to become or bring about. So he was, over and over again, John says, he was, and he brought about. So he had existence always. He had time, he had life, and with those two things he brought about time for us and life for us. He provided them. He brought them into being. In him was life. In him was life. And that's not a metaphor. In him was life. It all came from him. All life. And that life, John says, was the light of men. So now John has jumped. He's jumped from before time. Suddenly now we have men. He's jumped from before Genesis, not only Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, to after Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, but to after Genesis 3. To after our fall, to after the point when we needed that light. His light, the life that came from him was a light, was a revealing to us of who he is. It showed us him. Here John is talking about time like this time. Time when we don't have much time. That's what John's talking about here, that in that kind of time, the life that Jesus has, the life that Jesus brought about, is the light for men and women who don't have much time. To point us to the one who has both time and life. And yet there was a problem because our sin kept us from seeing him in that light. It says, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And that word understand means, excuse me, to grasp, to wrap your mind around, to get it. His light that comes from his life, that life was the light of men, that light shines in the darkness, but the darkness, those of us who are dark, just cannot understand it. We couldn't see him. We could see that there was life. We could see that it pointed to something or someone, but we couldn't see him. We are clouded from seeing it by our own darkness. But we don't have much time, you know. We don't have much time, so he decided to come here himself. He entered time because we didn't have much time. And in entering time, of course, he entered by entering a place where time is finite. He entered a place where life is finite too. And he spent time with us. But even then, we didn't recognize him. John says, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. His world, the one that he spent so much time creating, the one that now had such limited time because of its fall into sin and death, spit him out. They didn't, this is the ironic part, we didn't have time for him. We didn't have enough time. And the one who came, who was from the beginning, who had so much time, and with that, so much life, we didn't have time for. Yet his time was not going to be completely wasted, John says, even though his own would not receive him, there would be some, moved by his spirit, given vision to behold him, who would receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now think about this. Children, not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. To all who received him, To all who took the time to receive him, he gave them the right to be born again, but not to be born in the same way that they had been born the first time, not simply to be like reincarnated into the same mess that they were in now, and to go through it one more time and hopefully have enough time to get all the things done that you want to do, but to be born of God, so to share in his essence. To be like him, having all the time in the world. To be born of God with all the time of God and all the life in God. He gave them the right to taste eternity. In our finite world, eternity is so hard to grasp. And I've talked to people who, even when you mention the word, they say, oh, just don't say that. It's hard. You know, you can't think just of forever and ever and ever and ever. But you can think of always having today. You know, there will be never a time for those who receive him when they don't have today. When they don't have life. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Though much of his own creation did not see him, we have seen him. We have seen his glory. We've seen the wonder that he is. We've seen the one who came from the Father, whom he was with in the beginning, the one who came with grace to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, so that we don't need any time to try to undo the things that we've done wrong. The one who came with truth to cut through a world of lies and provide for us what we truly needed and didn't have. Time and life. The life that we've been talking about through Advent. Life to the full. The message that Jesus brings us tonight has to do with time. He came, in a sense, to tell us the obvious. We don't have much time. You don't have much time. And that means you don't have much life. But he came that we might have both. I guess as I reflect on the last year and the speed with which it whizzed by me, I'm grateful, eternally grateful for time and more of it. For the time we have together to share the love of God together and the work that he's given us to do together. But infinitely more so for the time I have before me, the time you have before you. Having been born of God, to look into his glory, to feed on his life, to relish the life that is in him, and to just keep on doing it until I get it right. Without Jesus, you do not have enough time, not enough time to do the things you want to do, and certainly not enough time to do all the things you should do. but with his grace and truth, by sharing in his divine nature, by receiving him, by giving him your time, you can be a child of God, born of God, sharing in God, and rest in him both tonight and forever. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, there are so many things that we want to do, so many things that we have to do. The years slip by so quickly. Before we know it, 20 of them are gone. And then before we know it, we can remember 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, or 50 years ago. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came to give us all that we didn't have, life and time. And Lord, we want to give to you the time that we have left here on earth in response to your great gift. And we want to rest, Lord. We want to rest as you rest. In your name we pray. Amen.